All right, here we go. My name is Jeff Kay, and this is the West Virginia Surf Report Podcast. So how was your holiday? Ours was fantastic. We had the big honking 3-day weekend. I hope you did too. I hope you had the honking. Everybody works weird hours now. I don't think there's anything. I think the Monday through Friday 9-to-5 thing, I think that's a thing of the past. I'm sure some people still work those hours, but it seems like everybody's working 24 hours a day. They're not working 24 hours a day. I think that every business is open 24 hours a day, it feels like. And people are working odd schedules. You can go to, like, the grocery store. You can go to Walmart at, Tuesday at, 1 p.m. You know, the place is packed. It's like pandemonium. And if you're like me, you walk around going, what the hell? Doesn't anybody work anymore? You know, that's the way I play it. But anyway. So, I don't know, if you didn't have the honking, that's what we're going to start calling it, the 3-day weekend. If you didn't have the honking, I hope you made the best of whatever you did have. We did have the big honking 3-day weekend, and it was good. It was a rich tapestry of, the foundation, obviously, was lazy sackism. And then there was, woven through it. Were threads of grilling. There was a lot of charred meat prepared on the deck this weekend. And also there's some baseball, a combination of watching and listening, And there was some beer, of course. I mean, that's an unspoken, And I don't know, I cleaned up my office down here, the Surf Report bunker. Worked on that. It's still a work in process. Progress. Is it work in progress? Work in process. Process sounds better to me. But anyway, those are the main threads in the tapestry of the weekend. And, it was good. There was a lot of rain, which doesn't really affect me all that much because I'm not the outdoorsy type, I'm not going to be out there. When it starts raining, I'm like, now I can't go on my 7-mile hike through the woods. You're never going to hear me say anything like that. I'm not one of those people that like sits around the pool with one of those reflectors under their chins. Never actually seen anybody in real life use one of those things. Used to see it on TV all the time, on the Love Boat or something. Somebody sitting out there, Loretta Swit. Perhaps sitting out on the on the deck of the Love Boat. It's one of those things. Usually it's a man. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Usually it's a man, some schlub for some reason. I don't know why. But never actually seen anybody use one of those things or seen them in stores. So I don't know. I don't know what the story is with that. But anyway, I'm not that type either. So you're not gonna see me covered in ticks. From my long walk, I know a guy that walks through the woods all the time. He's quite the outdoorsman. And he says he comes back and he has like 20 ticks on him. I would flip the fuck out. He just seems like he goes, I just pluck them off. It's no big deal. So you're going to get Lyme disease, you better watch it. And he's like, it's overblown. So I don't know. Says it one time he had like 40 ticks. He goes for a long walk, God knows where, comes back with 40 ticks. I think that's, I'm not going to get any ticks sitting on the couch. I can tell you that much right now. So, the rain doesn't bother me. The only thing that bothers me about the rain is it makes the grass grow, and then I feel guilty because it needs to be cut. And I'm not doing any of the cutting, I pay, My grandfathers are spinning in their graves just because of this. I pay a service. They come by every 10 days. You know, it's not always 10 days. Sometimes they get behind, you know. So it's usually anywhere between 9 and maybe 14. I think 14 is like the most because I keep track of it, you know. Because, you know, they billed me in the past where it feels like they inserted an extra cut in there. I've been burned, you know. So yeah, I keep track of it. So I think the most is 14 days. That's pushing it, you know. But generally it's around 10 days. That's the agreement we have with these guys. And this time of year when it's raining all the time, you know, it's like really shaggy right now. I think yesterday was the 10-day mark. We haven't seen them, so they're probably behind because of all the rain. It's a double-edged sword. It makes the grass grow, and it puts these guys behind. But, you know, the thing about that is, you know, like I say, my grandfathers, they would not, you know, you take care of your own shit, you know. That's their motto, you know. So they would frown upon me using a lawn service. But I could tell you one thing right now. My dad also, he wouldn't tell me, you know, he wouldn't voice his displeasure to me. But I guarantee he doesn't like it either. You know, these are things, I don't know, I come from a long line of mow your own lawn people. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I've broken the cycle. I think my brother has broken the cycle too. I think we both hire out. Anyway, whatever. I've hated mowing since I was 11 years old. I've been very consistent with it, you know. From 11 years old, that's when I began to hate it. That's the earliest days of my hate. Any kind of, like, yard work, any kind of lawn care. That started when I was 11, and it continues to today. Even when I lived in an apartment, and I didn't have to worry about that, you know. That's not a concern, because I don't have to deal with it. Even then, if I would smell fresh-cut grass, I'd be like, oh, my God. You know, I would be triggered. It's like, I hate it. You know, just the smell of it just makes, I don't know, anxiety. I don't know. I don't know if it's anxiety, but I have a deep, deep hatred of all things yard work. You know, you can jump to whatever conclusions you'd like. But anyway, we hire these folks. And so now our yard is shaggy because it's been 10 days. And it's raining, like, constantly. It's like Brazil up in this bitch. You know, there's probably macaws, maybe toucans up in the trees. Are those birds that are in Brazil? I don't know. What do I know about it? But anyway, it's like Brazil. It's like rains all the time, just constant rain. And the grass is growing. And I look out the window. The grass is kind of shaggy looking, you know. And I think I should be out there mowing that. But then I go, yeah, that's not going to happen, you know. So then I feel this low-grade, you know, I feel low-grade guilt about it. Because of my upbringing and my, you know, my background. Anyway, that's the only way that the rain affects me. You know, whatever. If it rains, people are always like, oh, you know, we need it. I'm like, what? Why? I think that's just an automatic response. People are programmed robots just walking around just saying what you're supposed to say, you know. I think that a big part of the population, if you say something, they'll automatically reply with a predictable response, you know? It's like, well, it's supposed to rain all day tomorrow, unfortunately. And they're like, somebody will say, yeah, well, we need it. Like, every time. Says who? What are you, Al Roker? Forget it. I can't bring up names. I was trying to bring up some obscure person from a sitcom. I couldn't come up with their name. Hank Kimball. That's what it was. From Green Acres. What are you, Hank Kimball? There you go. That was worth it, right? All right. So anyway, it rained all weekend, off and on. Monday, I think Monday was the best day, the holiday. You know, Tony and I sat out on the deck in the evening. Oh, it was beautiful. Oh, it's perfection out there. Still early enough up here in the pierogi belt to, still early enough in the summer where the bugs aren't a big problem. It hasn't gotten, like, to the point where the bugs are flying up your nose and in your ears and stuff. So it was nice. We were out there, had some craft beers. We had, I think we were partaking of the, you know, in case you're keeping track, of the Victory Hop Devil. I think that's what we had, a six-pack of that. $10.99 I paid for that. Six-pack, $10.99. It's very expensive, in my opinion. You know, that's the way it rolled, the way it goes. That's what it costs now. So anyway, that's what we were having, and it was nice. Did a lot of grilling over the weekend. I've gotten better and better at it. You know, I started when we bought our first house in Lithonia, Georgia. You would think it would be Lithonia, right? I mean, that's the way it's spelled. But it's pronounced Lithonia, you know. When we bought our first house there, I started grilling. That's my first experience with grilling. That was in 1993. So what's that, 26 years ago? Like quarter of a century ago? Finally, after a quarter of a century, starting to get the hang of it. Takes me a while. You know, my tendency, well, there's a lot of opinions in this household. And one of the things is burgers, you know. Or as they call them up here, which drives me insane, is hamburgs. Here's your hamburgs, you know. You go to Burger King, and they're like, here's your hamburgs. Like, what the hell is that, you know? Anyway, you cook hamburgers, there can't be any pink in it because, especially Tony, she objects to that. She doesn't want any pink in there. I mean, if you get it in a restaurant like that, it's okay. I don't know what the difference is. But she thinks, I don't know what I'm doing, you know? I mean, there's a lot of that, you know? And it's not, you know, it's not unfounded. But anyway, so that's a very important part. You can't have any pink left in the hamburger. A steak is different for some reason. Anyway, so I'm always conscious of making sure there's no pink, but then I have a tendency to overdo it, you know, to go way beyond. So there's a point now. I've gotten pretty good finding that point where it's just transitioning from the last part of the pink is transitioning into the fully cooked, you know. So you got to find that sweet spot, take it off right then. Then you can put it on a plate and it continues to cook because it's hot, you know. And then you put the cheese on there and it melts down. It's perfect, you know. Plus another thing that I've learned through the years, because I assumed, you know, the higher quality, you know, you get that 90-10, or even, I think there's even 95-5, or the fat percentage, you know. So I always assume that the less fat, the better, you know. I think it's more expensive. So the more expensive is the higher quality, I assumed. For years I thought that. What do I know about it? And but now I get the 80-20, the burger, 80-20, where it's 20% fat. That's the good shit, man. That's the zone. That's where you need to be. That stuff cooks down, cooks out. So it's not fatty, but the flavor, it like sucks up all that smoky goodness. Yeah. So I've gotten really good at pinpointing the transition from the last little bit of pink into the fully cooked. I know that I can sense that point now and yank it off there. You know, it's perfect. It's beautiful. It's a work of art. So I've gotten really good at that. It's taken me 25, 26 years to get there, but I think I'm finally there. All right. So we did a lot of that. We did some burgers. We did some hot dogs. Tony likes her hot dog like burned up, you know. She likes it like scorched beyond, you know, you can't even tell it's a hot dog. I don't know. But anyway, So, you know, everybody has their own opinions. So you gotta, you know, navigate through that. And, I think we had chicken breasts one day. So we did a lot of grilling, and, we didn't have any steaks this weekend. You know what we do with the steaks is, we buy them in advance. We put them in a freezer bag full buttermilk. I'm getting to the point where I can't bring up certain words. I don't know. I'm starting to get concerned. All right. Buttermilk. We put it in a sack of buttermilk. And I'm leaving in the fridge overnight. Man, those things are tender. You get some New York strips. Buy these, get these freezer bags, these big freezer bags. Just fill the thing up with, 3/4 of the way with buttermilk. Drop the steaks in there. Seal it off. Put it in the refrigerator overnight. Then when you put it on the grill, it's like super tender. Like break something down. I don't know. I don't know the chemistry behind it. But that, I don't know where we learned that, but we've been doing that for years. So we didn't have any this weekend, but maybe we'll make some buttermilk steaks next weekend. We'll see how it goes. So that we did that. Also on Saturday, we went to, both the boys had to work. So they went to work at 4:00. So Tony's like, why don't we go somewhere and maybe have some beer? Back in the day, back when we were in Atlanta, we used to go to this place called Moe's and Joe's, this bar. It's like been there since the 40s, you know? Fantastic place. It looks like a dive bar inside of it, but it's in this yuppie neighborhood. It's very trendy and hip. That's not why we went there. It's just fantastic. When we started going there, there was an old guy that worked there. His name was Horace, you know? And he'd been working there since the late 50s, you know? He's like an old black man. His name was Horace. And the thing about this bar was everything was Pabst Blue Ribbon. They had this huge neon sign, Pabst Blue Ribbon, on the wall. This stuff's been there since, back before John F. Kennedy was president, you know? And so everything's Pabst Blue Ribbon. They sold other beers too, but it's all about, when you go to Moe's and Joe's, it's all about the Pabst. They had really good bar food too. So we used to go there every Saturday night, Tony and I did. Many of our decisions, you know, life decisions were, talked about and decided at Moe's and Joe's over a pitcher of Pabst Blue Ribbon. And you'd order the stuff from Horace, if you're lucky. You know, Horace would wait on you. He'd come to your table. You know, this place is a dump, you know. But he'd come to your table, and they had he was in some fine restaurant. He had like this nice, you know, he's dressed all dapper, you know. And say, I like to get a pitcher of Pabst, and he'd, every time, 100% of the time, he'd go, the finest, you know, it was awesome. So anyway, we did that every Saturday night. That was a tradition. We went to Moe's and Joe's, had a pitcher of Pabst. Sometimes we'd have popcorn, chips, who knows, you know, but that was the thing. We'd talk and we'd discuss the week and we'd plot and plan, you know, and, when we're deciding whether or not to buy that house out in Lithonia, that's where we would discuss it. We'd go to Moe's, as we called it, and sit there. And we'd, the night before I got married, I went in there with my brother. Yeah, it was a very special place. So anyway, we have a tradition. We don't ever get to do it much anymore, but that's a Saturday, like late afternoon, you know, sitting with some beers, discussing, talking, you know. So she said, why don't we go find, go have a couple beers somewhere. I said, okay. So, you know, you don't have to twist my arm. So we started trying to decide where we're going to go. And, there's a couple of places we could. None of them are satisfying. We wanted to sit outside because it had been raining all day, but it stopped. And, you know, it was pretty outside. The sun was shining. So let's try to find some place where we can go sit outside. You know, the choices are slim. There's some super yuppified place here in our little town. I don't like that place. For one thing, their beer selection sucks. I don't know who's doing the buying there. The guy's like, you know, the guy needs to be. I could go in there and straighten him out. You know, it's like a lot of this. I don't know, just crap beer. You know. It's like a magic hat and shit like that. I mean, that's bullshit, you know? So anyway, plus it's full of people who's like very judgy, you know? I don't like that place. So that's out. And then there's other, you know, there's other joints that we sometimes go to. None of them sounded like the perfect place. I said, why don't we go back to that backyard ale house, which is in Scranton? Tony's like, I don't know. It's because we went there years ago. And for some reason, we had it in our head that we didn't like it. You know, I don't know why. I can't remember why. And I said, what's the problem with that place? Because I mean, I wasn't challenging her. I was just trying to remember. And she said, I don't know. She goes, I have a feeling that we'd be the oldest people there. I think that's a college hangout. I said, I don't know about that. You know, I think the place is pretty popular. She goes, I don't know. I think it's all college kids. And we'd stick out like a, you know, whatever. You know, you have a tendency to say a turd in a punch bowl. But if I'd have thought about it, I probably could have come up with something more creative than that, you know. So she said we'll be the oldest people there. So I don't think that's true. Maybe at 10 o'clock at night, but not at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. She goes, okay, well, we can try it. So we went down there, it was perfect. Oh my God. It was like 100% grand slam, you know. We went back there. They have like this big patio, this outdoor seating in the, you know, behind the bar. And it's got these, I mean, it's cool looking. The way they have it decorated, there's like these big, it's in literally downtown Scranton. So there's big tall buildings all around. And, you know, they got the Christmas lights strung across. And this looks cool as hell. And, everybody was like super friendly, super nice. They had like a beer list that was like, yeah, baby. It's like it changes every day, it looks like. Every day they have a different list. And that thing was kicking. They had all kinds of great, you know, super obscure craft beers on there. They have really good food. We just wanted some kind of like, you know, some kind of like an appetizer, I guess. We were talking about chips and salsa or something like that. But we ended up getting these homemade potato chips and homemade sour cream and onion dip. Never experienced the homemade sour cream and onion, you know. So that was kicking. And we got these craft beers that were like Heavy Seas, the one I got. Broken Heels IPA. I mean, these are like obscure. And there was one Conshohocken Bloody, I don't know what it was, Bloody Anus. Could be wrong. I don't know. I think it had blood in the title. Conshohocken Brewing Company. So, you know, it was fantastic. The weather was perfect. Ah, everybody was like, the staff was like super friendly. The cost, we had two beers each. We had those incredible chips that are like gourmet, you know. And the whole check was $27. It was unbelievable. I told Tony, I said, we got to go here every Saturday, you know, every single Saturday for the rest of our lives. We have to go here. And she said, I don't know about that. You know, also, I must add, there were all kinds of, the demographics went across. I mean, we did not stick out in any way, shape, or form. There were old people, young people, you know, all, I mean, it was every demographic you could think of in there. Fantastic. Absolute 100% home run, you know. So that was great, you know. The thing about that is, I was sitting there, and there's some guy. Yeah, I try not to be a snob. Sometimes it's an uphill battle, but I try not to be a snob, because who cares? When it gets right down to it, who gives a shit, you know? But, all right, this is a temple. This place is a temple to craft beer, right? That's what they're about. It's called the Backyard Ale House. The whole thing is built on craft beer. There's some douchebag sitting there. He's sitting at a table near us. He's got this giant, like, you know, when you go to stadiums, you know, or they sell, like, these big, giant, like, they're plastic bottles of Bud Light. They look like a bank, you know. You could use, after you finish it, you could just, like, cut a slot in it, and it, you could use it as a bank, you know what I mean? So he's sitting there drinking this giant, this ludicrously elongated bottle, plastic bottle of Bud Light in a place that's known for their craft beers. And, you know, I'm sitting there trying not to judge the guy. I don't know. I was watching him. I was zeroed in on this dude, you know. And, you know, whatever. If you want to drink a Bud Light, you know, whatever. It has nothing to do with me, you know. But I, you know, I'm looking at him, trying to figure out what's going on, trying to jump to conclusions on this deal. And I don't know. I didn't like the way he carried himself. You know, it went beyond the Bud Light. I think the Bud Light is an indicator. What I think, you know, I think that there's a, like, there's stuff like that, like Bud Light. That's for, I don't know. More like Corona and those type beers. Those are for people. Those are beer for people who don't like beer. You know, that's what it boils down to. But anyway, I was zeroed in on that guy for, you know, most of the time we were there, just watching him drink his stupid stadium beer, you know. And but other than that, it was an absolute home run. We got to go back there every week and, snob it up, baby. That's what it's all about. I saw somebody bringing out this big, giant platter of nachos. I was like, holy shit, you know. Next time we come, we got to get those things, you know. I was having nacho envy, you know. We had those chips, which were fantastic. But, I don't know, they were one-upping us with those, you know, with those nachos. I can't recommend the Backyard Ale House any more than I have already done. It's fantastic. Awesome, you know. So the weekend was good. It was great. We had a good time. I hope your honking was also great. Let me know. Leave a message. Leave a comment. Oh, my God. Why do I always say call the call-off line? Oh, man. It's hilarious. But call the hotline. That's what it is. Call the hotline. It's 570-290-8151. It's a voicemail thing I got set up through Google, you know, Google Voice. I didn't even know that existed. But, you know, call it. You'll hear my dopey voice on there greeting you in a semi-insulting fashion. And then you can leave a message. You can leave a comment. You can leave a question. You can leave a suggestion, whatever. Whatever you want. And I might use it in a future episode. In fact, I'm going to use one right now. Here's one from longtime reader Toby. So here it is.
Hey, Jeff. This is Pope Cosgrove. I've been reading your blog forever, and your voice does not sound at all the way I would imagine it to sound, but it's a very nice radio voice, so well done on that. The reason I'm calling is because the Nancy stories have always been my favorite. I've read them multiple times. One of my favorite things is that she and her hubby got married on a beach by an actor surrounded by a pack of barking dogs, which a few years back turned out to be the way that I quote-unquote married my kid mother. We were on a beach in California with a actor, and the dogs weren't running around, but there were lots of dogs in the school buses nearby that we owned. So, cool. I'm turning to Nancy. All right, Jeff. Have a good one. Bye.
All right. Thanks, Toby. It's thank you for calling. As far as my voice goes, I don't know what that means. Are you saying I'm a hick? I mean, there can be no other explanation, right? You know, I mean, what are you saying? All right. See, my voice doesn't sound anything like, all I'm hearing is, Jeff, you are a hick. You know, no, I'm kidding. I know what you're saying. I mean, when I hear my voice, I can't believe it, you know? So I know what you're saying. And congratulations, by the way. on making the transition into full Nancy. You know, that's awesome. I have a question for you, though. You said you were married on a beach by an actor. Okay, so that's good. That's the Nancy way. And there were dogs. Well, Nancy had them running around leaping, you know, during the ceremony itself. You said your dogs were, like, off to the, you know, separate. Yeah, that's cool. You know, that's close enough. But I do have one question. Were you wearing a sash? Because Nostradamus is wearing a full sash, pirate style sash, at his beach wedding. So that's the only unknown in this thing. But other than that, great. You know, good deal. Congratulations, and thanks for the call. Oh, and by the way, Nancy, she's coming up here in June. She's going to spend one night with us, I think. I mean, that could change 5,000 times between now and then, but, you know, she's going to be here. The thing with her is, you know, it feels like the entire world has gone nuts. You know, it's old people. That's the way we feel all the time. The whole world's gone crazy, you know. Back in my day, you know, when we had the rotary phone, you know what I'm saying, it feels like everything's just gone insane, and it feels like Nancy is no longer out of the mainstream. I think she's right down the middle of the road. she's right down the middle. Something that it concerns me, of course, but feels like she's not that radical anymore. In fact, maybe I shouldn't say this, she's been talked to at her job in academia. She's been talked to because, you know, she doesn't toe the line. You know, some of her opinions are not in lockstep. You gotta be in lockstep, baby. You know, so I don't know. Some of the stuff that used to be hilarious to me, I feel like everybody's that way now. I think we're all Nancy now, which is not good. It's not good at all. But anyway, she's gonna be up here, maybe, possibly, in June, and maybe I'll have some stories to tell. I don't know. We'll see. But anyway, thanks for the call, Toby. And if you guys want to call and leave a message, I would love it if you did. It's 570-290-8151. That's the Surf Report Podcast Hotline. And so do it today. Also, if you want to double down on these Surf Report updates or Surf Report Podcast episodes, that's easy too. Just head on over to Patreon. That's patreon.com/JeffK. Sign up for a $4 or more monthly donation. They call it a patronage. It's a donation. And it supports my efforts. I have many efforts. I mean, you wouldn't believe how many efforts I have. So if you do it at the $4 level, that's you put it on a credit card, whatever. Ever how you want to pay for it. And it comes out at the first of every month. It helps me. You'd barely notice it. And then, as a thank you, you'll get an extra episode of the West Virginia Surf Report podcast every week. Comes out on Thursday. Wow. I call it the Thursday episode. It's more like, that's what it's called. That doesn't mean it necessarily comes out on Thursday. It often comes out on Friday. Rarely does it go into Saturday, but that has happened too. But generally it's Thursday, and that's only heard by patrons, the folks who support me at patreon.com/JeffK. That's a thank you for your support. So if you want to do that, it's easy. Do it today. It's $4. It doesn't have to be $4. It could be more, but $4 will do it. So do it today. And we're at the end of this thing. I hope you enjoyed it. It's a little off the cuff. Generally, they're a little bit more tightly structured, but this one was a little stream of consciousness. Hope you enjoyed it. I'll be back. Well, it's definitely not going to be Thursday this week because I'm behind. I don't want to get into why. It's not interesting. It's not a secret. It's just not interesting, you know. But anyway, it'll probably be Saturday this week. So, I'll be back on the Thursday show, whenever that comes out, over at Patreon. So I hope to hear you, I hope to see you guys over there then. All right. We're at the end. Hope you enjoyed it. I'll see you. Have a good one. Bye. We buy them in advance. We put them in a freezer bag full of, forget it.